The first lachan dafen here, we get a little insight into the chinuch back in the day. It says that children who are learning, otherwise known as tinok shabbes rabun, they are allowed to use candles, and they're allowed to read to the candles because they're afraid of their rebbe. They're afraid of their rebbe, and the Mishnah Berurah brings in Sifkat and Tezvav a discussion. Even if he's not there, they're so afraid to do anything without his rishus, so they don't have to be afraid. They'll instinctively move their hands to touch the candle because they won't instinctively do any action without the Rebbe's permission. That's the Zan we just mentioned before, which was that Bon Malikin is the exception. Even though you're not fluent in it, we're not afraid that you're going to play with the fire, like I reminded myself right after I gave it as an example. We're not afraid because if you're talking about it, then you're not going to do it. That's what I started off by saying before, is that's ironic. That would be an example. It's not ironic at all. It's actually because of that reason that you're talking about it, you will not come and play with the fire. The Mishnah Berurah does point out that it's mashma specifically these halachas of Hilchos Shabbos, but not any halachas of Hilchos Shabbos. A person could be busy learning Hilchos Shabbos, even let's say Shehiya. And part of Shehiya, leaving things on the stovetop, the problem is that you're going to come and play with the fire and the cooking. You're going to stoke it so it cooks faster. So even though it's theoretically a very similar concept of playing with fire, still that would not be included in the heter. The heter specifically for Bam Malikin. I mentioned before that a cheder boy, a tinok shel beis rabban, was afraid of his rebbe. Sifches points out that everyone, even adults, have a certain fear when it comes to Yom Kippur, and therefore you're allowed to use your Yom Kippur machzer. Again, if there will be a blackout on Yom Kippur, you're allowed to use the Yom Kippur machzer because people have an extra emoh, extra fear because it's Yom Kippur. Mishnah Berurah doesn't say anything, but we actually can learn a nice insight here into psychology, is that when a person's in a state of fear, they don't instinctively do anything. Because right, what are we talking about? An instinct to play with a candle so it lights more. So what does it make a difference? He has a fear. Okay, when he thinks, he has a fear, but he's instinctively touching it. The point is, a person's much more careful when they're in a state of fear. They're not so instinctively pushing things. They're in a much more high alert, we'll call it, and therefore we're less afraid of the instinctive grabbing of the candle. Okay, Sif Tes is talking about the Haggadah of Pesach. Okay, remember we mentioned that maybe you have a blackout from a snowstorm or a hurricane. Back then, it was always a blackout every night, right? They always had to use candles. So Pesach night, they're using candles. What about the Haggadah? Great question. So the Mechaber says the Haggadah is something that everyone knows a little bit. It's considered something that people are fluent enough that we're not afraid they're going to play the fire. You don't have to look so closely. And Mishnah Berurah does point out, let's say you find someone that really doesn't know well. And nowadays, I think because we are so used to reading and we're not so used to being fluent in things, there are people like that that aren't so fluent in the Haggadah. So the Mishnah Berurah does point out that he still believes it's better to read the Haggadah because it's a mitzvah from the Torah to read the Haggadah, or at least to talk about the Sipur of Yetzias Mitzrayim, and therefore that mitzvah overrides the fear, the Rabbanan, overrides the Isser de Rabbanan, which was built off the fear that a person will play with the candle. That's Mishnah Berurah Yud Zayin. The lashon of the Mishnah Berurah is that possibly more important to read the Haggadah. It doesn't say it with conviction, so if it's ever halacha l'maisa, you should check into it. The Mishnah Berurah does leave it as a tzarachim, but it's not going to be halacha l'maisa pashtos anytime soon. Next Mishnah Berurah, Yud Ches, points out that any davening a person knows even better than Haggadah, it really seems to be based on what the Mishnah Berurah describes as something that we're somewhat fluent in and doesn't need require Ian Rav. Would say that what I mentioned as Ladovra Shamari may be an example. I wasn't sure if that's fluent enough. It sounds from this Mishnah Berurah that people are considered fluent enough. It would. People are fluent enough. And Ladovra, therefore, would not be an example of something that you have to be machmer. Sifud says the Rebbe is just taking quick checks to where the kids are up to. Is not a problem. That's mutter, because again, it's not Ian Rav. He's just quickly checking, glancing over where they're holding. So that's mutter. Before, it's not just reading. Anytime you're trying to check something by the candle, you want to tell the difference between two spoons from different silverware. They're similar, and you can't really tell unless you look closely. That will be a problem. Same thing with two pairs, articles of clothing, also be a problem. I mentioned yesterday that the I mentioned that before that the Mishnah Berurah spoke about combining a light that people don't usually come to play with, and some other svara. So here the Mishnah Berurah says that certain candles a person doesn't usually play with, we could be more lenient, and we're not going to need be machmer. It's something that's an in between iyun. Now sometimes what we call iyun rav is a little vague. How much in depth do you have to read? How much do you have to strain in order to read? So here the Mishnah Berurah says we could be more makel on the types of fires, types of candles we're not normally going to play with. You can read almost anything except for something that requires major, major, major strain to read it. What we call Iyun Rav, Tzarich Iyun Rav, not just Tzarich Iyun, but Tzarich Iyun Rav. Is we learn that it's not just an objective exercise, whether it's hard or easy to decipher, determine the difference between two objects, but we actually look at the expertise of the person checking it. Okay, that's what it says in Sifya Beis. We look at, is this a worker that's used to this work, and therefore for him it's easy, doesn't have to look carefully, or is this a rookie on the job, a waiter that normally has not worked in this place before, and therefore he needs to check very carefully between the different silverwares, etc. The Berurah points out in Sif Katan Chavdal that we're a little bit more lenient when it comes to silverware and different things that have to do with serving the food because of the nikiyas, the cleanliness, the hygiene for the Suda Shabbos, for the serving of food on Shabbos. And therefore, we might be a little more lenient with that as opposed to reading or other types of exercise that we do, other type of actions that we might do with the light. This might come as a shock to a lot of people out there who are used to the concept of that you can't tell a goy to do something for you. For example, it's dark in your house, you can't tell a goy to come in and turn on your candles. Sorry, not your candles, turn on your lights. Turn on your light switches. So what do? You hint to him. You hint to the goy. It's very dark in here, and you hint to him to turn on your light. So this might come as a shock, but there are two different problems when it comes to Amira La'akum, when it comes to having a goy do something for a Jew on Shabbos. One is you can't tell him. So by hinting it, you're not telling him. That's okay. But there's another problem. You're not allowed to derive benefit from any malacha that a goy does for a Jew on Shabbos. Okay, if he's doing it for you, you cannot derive benefit. If he's doing it for any Jew, and he did a malacha deraisa, no Yisrael, no Jew is allowed to derive benefit from it. If it's a derabanan, if the goy did a derabanan, then only specifically the one he did it for can't derive benefit. Everyone else can derive benefit. Just to repeat that, because it's actually very important. Anytime a goy does malacha for you, the Jew, on Shabbos, you cannot derive benefit from that malacha on Shabbos. In fact, you even have to wait an amount of time, Motzoi Shabbos, but that will be discussed at a later point in time, not over here. So, take a look. Look in Siman Shin Chafei Sivav. There it discusses the halachas of Bichdei Shiyasa, waiting on Motzoi Shabbos, the amount of time necessary to actually make this happen. Takes an hour to make happen what the goy did, so you have to wait an hour after Shabbos. Okay, like I said, we'll talk about it at a later point.